All right, I am joined today here at Pit Pass Network by Ryan Vargas. Ryan, it's been a solid season so far. You guys have made some leaps forward, still some work to do. What are you looking to what would you grade your season, first of all? How would you grade where you guys are this season and maybe where you could still be a little better and where you guys have gotten a lot better since last year?
Yeah, I mean, this year has been, there's definitely been ups and downs, but that's part of racing. We've had some really, really good speed, really good runs, and unfortunately, the luck hasn't always been on our side this year. But like I mentioned, that's part of racing. There's a lot of really good positives coming out of this year so far, and I'm pretty excited to see where everything goes. And I think that, we're building a solid, we're building a solid base, and I'm looking forward to these next four races here.
Yeah, and you mentioned you got four races left. There's two races you're still trying to get into here, and hopefully, maybe you can run good enough at Talladega this week and finish the year strong, and maybe finish the year in all the races. Because I believe you jumped in the seat for Mike Harmon, right, and some other races that you missed.
Yeah, I drove for Mike for two events, Road America and Portland. Portland went really well. We had a pretty decent showing there, so it's been fun to work with Mike over there. Get the chance to learn different organizations and work with them. So, learning the different processes of different teams has been a unique one for me, and I'm pretty excited to see. I'm pretty excited to kind of get into these final races, focus on them, focus on what I got. And if an opportunity comes up for me to do those other two, then I'll absolutely do them. But right now, my focus is these four.
Yeah, and you guys scored a sixth at Daytona just a few weeks ago. You guys ran 18th in the spring. Looks like you had some good runs at Talladega. Maybe didn't get the finish that you should have, and Atlanta looked pretty well too the first time. So that seems to be a place where you guys have been pretty sporty, especially single car runs. I believe you qualified in the top 10, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, our speedway program has been very strong. I mean, we've been able to qualify in the top 10 both times we've been able to do qualifying, and like you mentioned, our intermediate slash speedway program with the Atlanta car, that's been really good as well. So I have a lot of confidence going into this race. I think that there's definitely a strong, possibility of us coming out with a good finish, knock on wood. There's this is always an opportunity for us to go out and capitalize on others' mistakes and be there, when it comes time.
Yeah, and you mentioned capitalize on others' mistakes. We have seen, it seems like it gets worse all the time about some of these races here at the end, especially at, Daytona, Talladega. You can add Atlanta to that now. We saw it at Daytona. I mean, there wasn't many clean cars left, and now we're going to Talladega this week. And I mean, what's your strategy going in? Do you just ride at the back like we've seen mainly work? We've seen other drivers come out and say that. I mean, Joey Logano, I know that's the Cup Series, but he's came out and said that it's not fair that people who race up front get wrecked and people who ride at the back finish. But I mean, that's part of the speedway race, and it's been like that since I've been a fan for forever. I remember Dale Jarrett was a guy who just rode at the back and waited, and so was Bobby Labonte. And sometimes you got wrecked. You can get wrecked riding at the back. So what is going to be your strategy and your path to try to miss all these wrecks that we're going to see at Talladega?
Yeah, I mean, it's just about being there. It's about being there when it comes down to it. With 10 to go, coming to the white flag, it's if you're in position, you always have a shot. But the big challenge is still being in that position throughout the entire race. So, what you need to do essentially is just focus on being there. You have to avoid the wrecks, and whether that's riding at the back or that's hanging on to the tail of the lead pack, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, I've been wrecked running 32nd at a speedway, riding in the back. I've been wrecked running in the top 20, in the top 15. So I mean, it's definitely to choose hard to choose, which quote unquote strategy you want to do. So it's really sometimes it just turns into a lottery as to, if you make it there. So we've had a pretty good streak so far, hoping to continue moving forward with it.
So we saw at Daytona the 51 car win. We saw Jeremy get the win. Does that give a boost to guys like you and teams like you who say, okay, he just done it, and we know we can do it. We know we've had the speed in our cars to be able to run by ourselves, and that's a sign of a fast car that can lead a line. So does that give you guys a little extra pep in your step going into Daytona or into Talladega now, and maybe trying to win this thing since you know that it can be done and you've seen it, you know, just a few weeks back?
Yeah. I mean, it's watching guys like Jeremy get the win. That's always a great thing to see. But at the end of the day, you know, we're still a different program. We're still a different team. And, you know, we go into this with the same mindset every time. You know, everybody has a shot. So I've said it a bunch of times on this interview, but, you know, it's just about being in position on that white flag lap. That's all that matters.
Yep. And now take me where, what got you into NASCAR? Where, how was your path to NASCAR? Everybody's path is different. You've spent quite a bit of time at JD Motorsports now, and it seems like you've kind of made a home there, and you're very spoken on Twitter. If anybody can follow you, you're on Reddit, you're engaging with the fans. So tell me a little bit about your background and your path to get to where you are and where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I got into the NASCAR really just because of my dad. You know, he watched racing all the time. You know, we were able to go to our local short track, and that's really where I found out that, you know, kids could race in Bandolero cars. Through doing that, you know, I've been able to meet a lot of really great people at the local level, work with, you know, really great people at the professional level and in the ARCA, Xfinity, or even truck side. You know, it's been able to been something that I've been able to really embrace and work with a lot of, you know, these different teams and different organizations and learn, you know, what it takes to be in this sport, you know, what it takes, you know, it's all about the business aspect. So how, as a driver, do I leverage that business aspect? And I feel pretty good about, you know, what's possible.
Yeah. You're able to keep your name out there. You know, I see something with you. It seems like every week you're doing something, whether it's a Reddit AMA or announcing, you know, you make sure that when you have something come on board that you make a big, you know, you make a big announcement out of it. And I think that's going to keep people interested in you and keep people, you know, watching what you're doing. So how did you learn to use social media like that? And how did you learn to just, you're so positive. Like whenever I see you on TV or see you on Twitter, you're so positive and glass half full kind of guy. How did you get that mentality and learn to embrace the social media aspect of the sport that a lot of people still don't use?
Well, I mean, the thing is I don't use social media as, you know, a requirement. I use it as something that is just part of how I, you know, go about my daily life. You know, it's a part of, you know, how I interact with my fans and how I interact with, you know, the NASCAR fan base and, you know, other drivers, partners, you know, so on and so forth. It's not a requirement to me. It's a form of just hanging out. That's the way I see it. You know, I go on there. I like engaging with people. And, you know, you mentioned the glass half full aspect. I mean, the reason I'm like that is just because I've been absurdly close to losing everything in the sport, you know? And I mean, you're always kind of on that edge, but, you know, for myself, you know, in 2017, my parents sat me down at the dinner table one night and said, we couldn't afford to race anymore. And that, you know, since then I was able to, you know, land the deal to run with Rev Racing through the NASCAR Driver Diversity Program. And that really helped, you know, give me a place in the sport. It was so difficult for me to really see a path. There hasn't been a very clear path for me. And it's really just been a game of extending it year by year. I've been fortunate to have, you know, a lot of people, you know, support me and work with me and take me under their wing, you know, and that's been a very big blessing to me. To answer your question, really, the reason why I'm such a glass half full guy is because I know that I'm very fortunate to compete at this elite level, you know, to compete at, you know, the NASCAR Xfinity Series level. You know, it's the second highest echelon of stock car racing in America. I mean, that says a lot right there.
Yeah. And like I said, you've been at JD Motorsports for a few years now. Do you like it over there? Do you guys feel like you are turning the corner? Like I said, you guys have a great speedway program, you know, this year. And so are you planning on being back there next year? Are you not sure about your plans for 23 yet? Would you like to be back there?
I'm just working on it at the time, but you know, the JD Motorsports program over here, we've definitely improved a lot of really good things. Our intermediate program, like you mentioned, is really good. Our speedway program is really good. Our road course program is getting a lot better, and our short track program is getting a lot better. So, things are on the up for sure. And I'm very fortunate to, you know, be a part of this organization and, you know, for 23, you know, just working on it.
Yeah. And, you've raced for JD for a while, like I said. So we just left Texas. I'm looking here. Did you run Texas? I don't think you ran it. Did you?
I did not.
Yeah. So what is your opinion? Cause I'm sure you've ran races that you've had to have ran on tracks that have been treated. What is your opinion of tracks getting treated versus being left alone? Do you like it when they treat the tracks? Do you wish they'd leave them alone? Cause I feel like they do that for the cup side instead of just making the racing better with some changes to the cars and stuff, that is treat the tracks, try to do that. I don't feel like the Xfinity and the trucks need that. In my opinion, the Xfinity series is probably the best racing right now, you know, as far as you can get closer to a guy, you can make passes, you can run side by side. So what is your take on them treating these tracks?
Yeah, I mean, it's just part of, you know, it's part of being, you know, it's a part of what these tracks need to do sometimes. I mean, Texas, it needed something, you know, it needed that treatment. You know, I don't really have an opinion, you know, I just kind of know that, you know, at some tracks, you know, treating it works, you know, it works for making, you know, the racing better. I mean, you look at Charlotte this year, the racing was phenomenal across all the series, really. It's been very, very good racing all season long. So, you know, you look at Nashville, they put the resin from the bottom groove all the way to the wall. And that led to some really good multi-groove racing, you know, the last 2 years. So I'm very pro track treatment. I mean, I know that that's, you know, a little bit of a controversial thing to say, I guess, but if it's going to help the racing, then I don't see why we should shut it out. You know, it's helped the Xfinity racing a lot, especially at Texas. It's helped it a lot at, like I mentioned, Nashville. Charlotte this year was an absolute banger. So yeah, I, you know, if they need to treat the track to make the racing better, so be it, you know, as long as it produces that good racing. And sometimes it doesn't, but you know, that's just part of the process.
Yeah. And I don't think it's controversial at all to say that it, you know, you like it. Cause I think there are drivers out there that like it, you know, it's, you know, that's why I asked, because there's different opinions, you know, some people like it, some people don't, some people, you know what I mean? So it is something that everybody has an opinion on, but there are different opinions. So. What's your take on the schedule next year with them adding some road courses and going to some different places? And, you know, one big thing that everybody points out, obviously, is the trucks and the cup cars get to go back to Wilkesboro, but you guys in the Xfinity series do not. So what's your take on the schedule, and would you love to go race Wilkesboro?
I mean, I'd love to race Wilkesboro, but I mean, you know, you look at the schedules on the Xfinity side, you know, it's a pretty diverse schedule. You know, there's a lot of road courses, so there's definitely going to be a lot of action and stuff like that. You know, I love road course racing. I think it's very entertaining. I hope we don't overdo it. I hope we don't dilute the series by doing too many road courses. You know, I don't think we're necessarily at that point yet, but, you know, I think we're definitely at the limit, especially with doing Portland and Sonoma back to back. That's definitely going to be tough on a lot of teams logistically and financially. You know, that's part of it, you know, as a race team and as a business, you know, you have to now start prepping for that. You know, that prep for that starts today. So it's definitely a very interesting schedule. I'm glad that there's some new additions. I'm glad, you know, NASCAR is experimenting with a lot of things. And I think it definitely shows a lot of promise for NASCAR's future.
Yeah. And, you know, it should be exciting. Like you said, we're getting to that point with the road courses where we've got a lot of them. We are getting a lot of road courses, and I think a lot of people would rather see you guys go back to some more short tracks. Like, you know, a lot of people are talking about why you guys didn't go to Wilkesboro, why that didn't happen. Will you try to get into the truck race at Wilkesboro, or are you going to watch that as a fan like the rest of us?
Yeah, probably not. Just considering that, I guarantee every team is already A, sold the race, or B, has that race marked at a very high dollar. You know, that's probably going to be a tough one to get into, both, you know, financially and on the track. I mean, there's probably going to be quite a few trucks going home, if I'd have to guess.
Now take me into that, because a lot of people who are going to listen to this aren't going to realize everything that goes into you getting sponsorship. That's something that only the people who follow the sport pretty close understand, is that you don't have somebody lining this stuff up for you. You're knocking on doors, you're calling, you're doing the legwork for this. How do you go about getting a sponsor for just a race, let alone, you know, you're not looking for a full year commitment. Like Hendrick Motorsports can go to Napa and say, hey, we want to do this many races. Napa does, you know, that their cars are sold well in advance. Take us through how it's different for you and just trying to get a race or two at a time.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that I do is I really work on trying to sell these races, like you said, ahead of time. I mean, I know you mentioned that, you know, I don't often try and sell a full season, but that's actually that's my goal every time I head into the latter portion of a year. I try to sell, you know, a majority of the schedule, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to be what helps keeps me in seats consistently. But my biggest thing that I do there is I really work on selling. You know, I use LinkedIn a lot. I use their websites. I go through a lot of these different outlets to make sure that I have, you know, the funding necessary to go out there and compete on a regular basis.
Yeah. And it speaks volumes to a guy like you being able to stay relevant, you know, cause you haven't really battled for too many wins up at the front. You're just a guy that everyone likes. Like I said, I think your attitude is a lot of reason why people like you and want to follow you. Is it starts with your attitude before you ever climb in the seat. You seem like a fun guy. You know, I've only spent a little bit of time with you here, but just from what we've seen on TV and the way you're so accessible to the fans, it's something that I think a lot of people who are maybe more successful on the racetrack could learn a thing or two about being that engaging with the fans and just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's so important to be engaging with the fans. It's very important to be, you know, accessible. You know, I want what I do on the track to speak for itself, but then I also want what people see, you know, outside of what I do behind the wheel matter as well. So it's about finding that fine line between all of that.
And then you have this announcement. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that announcement that you're making here today?
Yeah, today we're announcing that Critical Path Security, they're a cybersecurity company, they're sponsoring our race car for the Roval here next weekend. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We have Children's Haven on the quarter panels as well. It's a fantastic organization. I encourage anybody who's listening to check them out. They really just provide a lot of great support for kids who came from, you know, really tough backgrounds or just abusive homes. So it's a very important story. And I'm very excited to have the opportunity to share that story using my platform.
Yeah, we can't wait to see the scheme here. It'll come live on Twitter. I know you posted yesterday about it. So hopefully, you know, you mentioned your road course program getting better. Maybe you put that thing up there in the top 5 or 10, have a pretty strong, solid run, and maybe get some more races out of it, right? That's the plan. That's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to the almighty dollar. So it's part of it. And that's what, you know, as a driver, you know, I just got to acknowledge and make all these different, make all these different things happen.
And here at Pit Pass Network, whenever, you know, somebody comes on and gives us their time, there's a lot of things you could be doing so much better things with your time. You know, watching paint dry is probably more exciting than talking to me.
No.
We donate to a charity of your choice. So what charity do you want to spotlight and talk about here today?
Yeah, I mean, I would say donate to Children's Haven. Like I mentioned, they're going to be on the quarter panel this next weekend at Charlotte at the Roval. By the time this interview comes out, you guys would have already seen the car. So check them out. Make sure you donate. We're going to have a QR code on the rear bumper as well. We're going to have a proper link for us to use as well to donate through Critical Path. So keep an eye out for that.
And is this just one race deal for right now?
Yeah, for right now, it's just a one-race deal.
Well, all righty then, Ryan. We'd like to thank you for your time here today. And good luck this weekend in Talladega. Go out there and get you a solid run to lead into the new sponsor for the Roval. And hopefully, like you mentioned, you try to sell full season and run for that Xfinity Championship and playoffs next year.
That sounds good to me. I appreciate you having me.